if I actually went ahead and just continued from where I left off in Sunday school. And in Sunday school, I've been preaching through the book of Philippians. I've been going line by line, verse by verse, point by point. And Paul tells us in Philippians how we can find peace with God. Now, he's writing this to a bunch of people that are members of the church at Philippi. They were all saved by grace through faith, soul sealed by God, given eternal life, have secured the believer, and they were all going to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now remember, he's writing to people like that. So if you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior, then you can look at this, and you don't have to think as to whether or not you should do this. You know that you should. This is how you have peace with God. Not salvation, but peace after you get saved. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if you haven't been coming to Sunday school, I just don't have time to go back. But we have covered thoroughly these things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just. And I went through each one of these words, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and praise. I looked up the words in the original meaning, precisely what they meant, the inspired words of God. And we talked about how we ought to do these things. And the reason that I presented this, we're supposed to think on these things. Now, one thing we can all agree on, even though you may not have been at Sunday school, all these things are things that Paul says children of God ought to do. Those things which you have both learned, they learned them from Paul, and received, they received them from Paul and others, and heard, they heard them speak it, and seen in me. He said, I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing, something I'm not trying to do. He said, I want you, all these things, do them. Both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. This was written to save people. It was written to church members who had also been scripturally baptized and were covenanted together. There's not one of you sitting here in this building that are members of this church or any other church that always have peace with God. It's impossible. You cannot do it. Because you're going to have bad thoughts. You're going to criticize somebody else. You're going to judge somebody else. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to lose your cool and holler and jump up and down. You're going to make a fool out of yourself, just like I do, at least once a week. And you're going to be just like that. So what happens when that occurs? You don't have any peace with God. Oh, you've got your salvation, but you don't have fellowship with God. So you run to God. What do? If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You run to the Lord. You confess your sin. And hopefully, if you believe what God's word says, if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You believe that? All right. When you do, he does. And you're back at peace with God. It's that simple. Now, there's something interesting about all this. All my life, I have been a great admirer of two men in the Bible. One was John. The other was Paul. Paul I didn't like when I first read after him because I thought he was pretty hard on women, pretty hard on everybody. But I fell in love with Paul because Paul was an honest man who told you all about himself. Now, do you think Paul did all that? I do. You think he did that? Yes. Do you think that Paul thought about things that were true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report, virtue, praise? You think that he ever did any of that? Yes. Do I think he did a lot of it? Yes. Do I think he did it all the time? No. Absolutely not. Do I think that Paul ever lost his peace with God? Oh, yes. All children of God, because they're sinners in the flesh, will lose their peace with God when they follow the flesh. And God knows that, and God understands that, and God provided 1 John 1, 8 and 9 so that his children who were sinners in the flesh could run to him continuously and constantly asking for forgiveness for their sins, because you cannot live above sin. The same man who wrote this, the Apostle Paul, it was a prison epistle. He wrote it from a hired house in Rome. The same man who wrote this also wrote the epistle to the Romans. So how could his soul have had peace with God? How is that possible? Paul was a saved man who was carnal, had sin dwelling in him, did evil things God hated, served the law of sin, at times was held captive by sin, and was sold under sin, but Paul is in heaven today. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you better believe it, because Paul told you that. Romans 7:14-15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. That's ego, eimi, present, indicative, active. He said, right now, while I'm writing this to you. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul was a sinful man in the flesh, just like I am and just like you are. For that which I do, I allow not. He said, I do the very thing sometimes that I know I'm not supposed to do. I go ahead and do them. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I can sin unto the law that it's good. I don't have any problem with understanding that all this is God's will. I don't have any problem with understanding that these are the characteristics of God. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous. Praise his name. I don't have any problem with that. Paul didn't either. He says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Do I ever give in to the flesh? Daily. Am I proud of it? No. Do I hate myself for it? Yes. Do I wish that I could live above sin? Yes. But the truth is, I cannot. Does that mean that I'm supposed to use this newfound liberty of salvation that I have and use it as a cloak for maliciousness? Does that mean I'm supposed to run around deliberately saying, where can I sin next and find pleasure for the flesh? No, it means that I'm supposed to fight against it by the power of Christ in me, day in and day out, 365 and a quarter days a year, until the day I die. It's giving up and not fighting that causes children of God never to have peace. You want some peace? As long as you're doing those things, you'll have it. But you can't do them 100% all the time, 365 and a quarter days a year, and you're going to drop off the wagon. And when you do, what does God tell you to do? He understands. He says, you run to me and confess your sins. And he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You said, I can't believe that. Believe it. God said it. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If God had already made me perfect in body, soul, and spirit, and I didn't have this flesh, and Christ living alongside my soul, I wouldn't even have to worry about temptation from the flesh. But I'm the soul speaking to you, and this is Paul's soul speaking to you. He said, I do it because sin dwells in me. You say, well, Paul never gave into it. He gave into it many, many times. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. That's you. That's me. That's ever born-again child of God. That's ever church member that knows Christ. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if you say to yourself, well, I don't do any of that, you're lost. You're headed straight for hell. Because you won't be honest with yourself or with God, and you don't see any need for repentance in your life. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's present with me all the time. Is there anybody here that goes through a week, and as you go through the week, you don't sense the evil in your flesh? You don't. God doesn't make you aware that you've criticized somebody, you thought something that was wrong, you thought some type of a sexual act that you wish you could have got out of your mind? Have you ever shedded the truth to your favor, and then called it the truth when actually it wasn't the truth? He said, I find that, he said, well, Paul didn't do that. Paul did stuff like that. All of us do stuff like that. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My inward man hates sin. This new spirit that God gave me when I received Christ as my Savior, he hates what I do. He doesn't like what I do. What I do when I yield to the flesh, I grieve God's spirit. I delight when I do what God wants, but I have no peace when I don't. How would God ever get me to change if he just let me have peace all the time when I sinned against him? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Don't tell me you don't have this in your members. You're not the Lone Ranger. I know you, because I know myself, and I know the Spirit that lives in me, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, in my flesh. Now listen to what he says. You say, well, I'm thankful I never felt this way. If you don't ever feel this way, and you're sitting out there today, and you're listening to this, and you say, well, I just don't quite understand what he's talking about. I don't consider myself a wretched man. I don't consider this body I have here a body of death. I don't see that I do anything really wrong. I don't see that I have bad thoughts. I'm just as good as anybody else. You certainly are. You're just as good as me. But the problem is, there is none good, no, not one. And the only one who ever lived that was the man, Christ Jesus. And all these things that Paul talks about that we're supposed to do, Jesus did. Can we do them with 100% efficiency? No. But we can sure as shooting try. He asked a question. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm a sinner. He said, I thank God. He answers his question. Through Jesus Christ, out with the Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I do. I do that. I'm doing that right now. I'm being open. I'm being honest. I'm preaching the word of God. I'm in fellowship with God at the moment. And with the mind, I'm serving the law of God. And when I get in his word and I study it and he points out my imperfections, I stay in fellowship with him and I have peace with God. But unfortunately, with the flesh, the law of sin. Josh, did you ever see Granddaddy lose his temper? You have. Did you ever see Dad lose his temper? Or Vicky, you back there anywhere? Did you ever lose your temper? Yeah. Well, you see, preachers are probably the worst of all. They have to live such a righteous life before people that sometimes they gild the lily. How many? You all know me for some time. You've heard a lot of preachers preach. Now ask yourself, how many times have you ever run across a preacher that tells you all about himself and tells you how wicked and sinful he is? You get that in any messages? No, you don't get much of that. Because you expect a preacher to be perfect, or most people do. And I have been in our work a long time, and you have no idea. And I'm not being critical. This is just the way it is. What most churches want is a preacher that walks in the door with his Bible, and he walks down the aisle very slowly, and he says, well, good morning, Brother Randall. It is certainly good to see you and your lovely wife. Now, notice that cleverness. See, he got on her side right there. And he walks down the aisle, and he walks very slowly. And some of them get a bigger Bible. And you just walk very slowly down the pulpit, and you make pronouncements. Brethren, we certainly have reason to rejoice in the Lord this morning. And he goes on and tells you all the souls that he won to the Lord that week and how great it was to visit some of these people in the nursing home. I don't like to go to the nursing home all the time. I don't like to go down there and see people die. There's lots of things I don't know what to say. I'm not a great visitor. But I'll be hoot and holler if I'm going to walk down an aisle with a Bible and try to be a holy Joe to you, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. You can relate to me because you know I'm real. I'm not phony, and I make a lot of mistakes. And if that's not the kind of preacher you want, you better go somewhere else. How can a soul have peace with God and yet do what Paul said he did? How in the world can you have peace with God and yet do what Paul said he did? Paul said he did sinful things. My soul has the rest of eternal assurance that God will never separate me from him because of my sins. I have rest. Every one of you that are saved and believe and secure the believer, you have rest. Because God's not going to ever separate you because of your sins, because he died to pay the price for them. My soul has the rest of eternal assurance that God will never separate me from him because of my sins. But when I do not do the things that Paul advocated in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, my soul loses the peace of God. When I yield to the flesh and follow it, I have no peace with God until I repent of what I have done by asking him to forgive me for Jesus' sake. You know what the devil's greatest weapon is? It's the greatest weapon. I think it's his greatest weapon. He may have some that are greater, but in my opinion, he gets you to thinking that if you keep committing the same sin and you keep running back to God, that sooner or later God's going to get tired of that, and he's going to write you off. What a miserable way to live. What a contradiction to the Bible. I don't care how many times I go to God and ask forgiveness for the same evil thought. God's going to forgive me. You say, well, I'd run in sin because of that just so God will forgive me. I fight against it with all my heart. And sometimes I lose. 1 John 1 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know I can never be separated from the rest of security in God's love. But I can be separated from the peace that he gives me when I fail to do what he tells me in his commandments. Charlie, you ever feel bad because you didn't go to church? Hell, what? He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much you see the day approaching. You ever feel guilty, Chili? All the time. Don't you? Leroy's always telling me, he said, but we're going to come next Sunday night. Let him have it, Leanne. She's amening over there. Now, the truth of the matter is, we feel bad. Because we're supposed to go to church, and we know it. So we don't feel good about it. Well, what do you do about it? Well, you go to church. And next time you don't go, you feel guilty. So what do? Pretty soon you get tired of feeling guilty, and you start going to church all the time. You say, well, that's a terrible way to God to work. It's the only way he can work with us. Because we're carnal, sold under sin. Now, here's where I got saved, and here's where you got saved. Jesus said, come unto me. He said, come unto me personally, to me, not to the commandments, not to anything else except a person. He said, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden. You ever been heavy laden with a burden of guilt and sin? I was before I got saved. All the time I figured, man, I'm headed straight for hell, and I was. I was laboring under heavy burden of sin because I could not keep the law. He said, you come to me, Tom, and I'm going to give you something. It's a personal pronoun. You come to me, I, and I will give you rest. When I finally just threw up my hands in the air and acknowledged to God what a sinner I was at that time, and still am, but I'm a worse sinner now in my own mind than I was that night. And I just went to the Lord trusting him because I didn't have any other hope. I had tried for 4 years to keep the law, and he gave me rest. I'm not worried about hell. I get miserable, but I'm not doing what God wants. But I'm not going to hell. I have the rest of knowing that. I have eternal security in Christ. This is what I did. John 5:40, he told a bunch of Pharisees why they were going to hell. He said, you won't come to me. He said, you won't come to me and I'll give you eternal life. That's the only kind he has to give them. They already had physical life and he was talking to them. He said, you come to me and I'll give you eternal life. Come to me. I'll take the burden off your shoulders. And he did. The burden was I was scared to death of going to hell. Not anymore. I know who my Savior is, and he's taught me what I am, and I'm a sinner, saved by grace, and I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross and with his life and nothing else. John 5:24. This happened to me. Has it ever happened to you? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, did you hear his word? When you heard it, did you believe that God sent him? That God the Father sent him? You believe that? Did you ask Jesus to save you? Did you come to him? Well, let me tell you something about yourself. Half, present indicative active. Half, everlasting life. Well, how long does everlasting life last? From the instant you get it. And shall not come into condemnation. You're never going to be passed under the condemnation of God again and lose that rest. You're going to heaven, but you can't keep peace unless you do his commandments. But it's passed from death unto life. It's a one-way passage. I was passed from spiritual death unto eternal life. There's no way back. So, look at this. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I'm not condemned. You say, well, God will recondemn you. No, it doesn't work that way. I've been passed from death unto life. Well, what was going to send me to hell? But he that believeth not is condemned already. I didn't believe Jesus could save me all by himself and what he did. I thought I had to do something to help him. Finally, I just threw up my hands in the air and acknowledged before God I'm a helpless, lost sinner. I have no hope. I have to trust Jesus because I don't have any other way. And I went to Jesus and he saved me. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why do people condemned, and why do people go to hell? Because they're bad? No, we're all bad. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For people that have a hard time with securing the believer, this is one of the most difficult scriptures in the Bible for them to understand. They simply cannot believe it's true. But it's God's word and it's truth. Even as David also described the blessedness, the happiness of the man. You're looking at one happy man right here. unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I have never done by myself any work that pleased God. It has always been by the righteousness of Christ. It has always been by His Spirit living inside me. God imputeth righteousness without works. I have never gotten one shred of righteousness of my own by my own personal works in the flesh. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. That's plural. My iniquities are forgiven. You say, well, you can't believe that. Now you've got to do this, this. No, 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 no. And whose sins are covered? My sins are covered. Now this is the one that just slays them. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, if you commit adultery on your wife and you don't immediately confess it, you're going straight to hell if you die. That is not true. I'm going to lose a lot of peace. I'm going to lose a lot of peace and I'm going to be miserable about it. But I tell you what, God will not impute any sin to me because I have believed in His Son and because His Son lives in me and nothing can ever separate me from it. You say, I can't believe that. You will not accept the fullness and greatness and wonder and amazement of God's grace. It took me a long time after I was saved to really accept these verses of Scripture. You think I don't serve Him now? You think I don't love Him? You think I don't care for Him? I can serve Him because I've been set free to serve Him. I'm not afraid of any sin that I could ever commit that would separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I have rest. And as long as I'm doing what God wants, I have peace. But I always have the rest of salvation. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The word blessed is makarios. It means ecstatically happy. I am ecstatically happy. Why aren't you happy? Because you don't believe the song Amazing Grace. It is even more amazing than most people think. What can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You can't justify yourself. Your works can't justify you. It's God that justifies you, and it's God that keeps you justified. Who is he that condemneth? Well, it's Christ. And if Christ isn't going to condemn you, you've got nothing to worry about. Who is he that judgeth? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's continually there, forgiving us our sins, hearing our prayers. You can't be separated. Start trusting Jesus. Start loving Him for what He did. Start understanding what true grace is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved Him. For I am persuaded. Now notice, He puts everything in that you could possibly think of. So are you afraid of losing your salvation? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that includes you. How many of you? Well, just let me ask you this question. And you can put your hand up if you want to. How many of you think? Well, no, I'll put it this way. How many of you want to be separated from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? How many of you want to be separated? The reason I ask you that question, I've had people say, yeah, but you can separate yourself. I don't know why people fight against it so hard. They just don't want to accept God's grace. They can't believe it's that great. And it's as great as God. And God's grace is sufficient. Paul was a wretched man when he followed the flesh, but knew God would never forsake him because of his sins. He had the rest of God no matter what he did, and knew he had eternal life. But he had no peace with God. He had no peace with God. When he followed the desires of his flesh rather than the Spirit of Christ in him. Could you walk in the Spirit before you got saved? Was it possible for you, when you were lost, before you repented of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus, before you got saved, was it possible for you to follow the Spirit? The answer is a resounding no. You could only follow the flesh because you didn't have the Spirit. And the common concept that many people that teach you can lose your salvation bear down on is, now I've got the Spirit, and I can walk in the Spirit, and I will walk in the Spirit, and I will always walk in the Spirit. Wrong. When you get saved for the first time, you can walk in the Spirit. And if you didn't have a fleshly nature, you wouldn't walk in the flesh, but you do. And you can walk in the Spirit. You walk in the flesh after you're saved. But you can't walk in the Spirit until after you're saved. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now let's let Paul continue. He's just told you what a sinner he is. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul's point is, you couldn't walk after the Spirit until you got saved. After you get saved, sometimes you walk in the flesh, sometimes you walk in the Spirit. But you don't have any peace if you follow the flesh. But you don't lose your salvation, and you don't lose the rest and assurance of your salvation. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free. I'm set free. If you don't understand that you're set free by this and you're never going to hell again, you're never going to be condemned again, you're miserable. And it's because you really don't have the type of continuing faith and strong faith in Christ that you should have. It doesn't mean that you're lost. It just means you need to put more of your faith in Christ and less in yourself. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, and I've been set free from the penalty of sin that would be put upon me because I follow the flesh, and I am forever set free from the condemnation of God that would have sent me to hell. Philippians 4:9. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Why are you here this morning? You know you're supposed to be here. Who bothered you? Your flesh? No. God's Spirit. Why'd he do it? Because he loves you, and he wants you to have peace. God wants you to come to church because he saved you, and because he wants to have a personal relationship with you, and he wants you to find the peace that's there in him through the study of his word. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. That means your control. Well, if you ask my wife will tell you I'm a changed man. The Spirit of Christ has been most gracious to me, and with the passage of time, I do follow the Spirit a lot more than I used to. And I do fight the flesh a lot harder than I used to. I'll never reach perfection in this life or even come close. But I have an obligation to God to try. And because God loves me, he tries to get me to change. You've known me now, some of you, for 31 years. You've seen the change in me. I didn't make the change. The Lord did. I just kind of stepped to one side and begin to realize how much change there needed to be in my life and still needs to be in my life. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That doesn't mean he's coming tomorrow. It has nothing to do with second coming. It means the Lord is right there in you. He's at hand every moment of your life. I used to worry a lot about my girls when they went out, that they'd commit some things with boys they shouldn't. And it used to bother me all the time. But you know what? The Lord was right there with them. And if the Lord couldn't stop them, I sure couldn't. So I started praying an awful lot about it and trusting the Lord. God's at hand in your life. Will you let his hand guide you? You want peace? God will give it to you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can sure have a lot more peace than you've got now. I'm speaking to myself, not just to you. Tom, you can sure have a whole lot more peace than you've got now. You know how I do it? Tom, you can sure have a lot more peace than you've got now. Start doing more things the way God directs and quit following the flesh as much as you do. So I'm preaching to myself, and I'm preaching to every one of you. God means for all of our lives for us to make the effort. We'll never become perfect, but by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, the world can see that we have a better control than when we were younger, and he can see the change in our lives, and it's a testimony to the world that God has worked in you. Romans 15, 13, 14. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are filled, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Have you been admonished this morning? The word admonish means to encourage. Have you been encouraged this morning? Have you learned something about yourself that you didn't know before? And have you realized that you're much freer as a child of God than you ever were in your life? This is what a church is all about, and this is the last verse. This is what I have tried for 31 years here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. If the church is in harmony, and the people in the church love one another, and if they all realize they're sinners saved by the grace of God, they'll be so grateful for what God's given them and for the eternity of it that they'll work together and they'll endeavor to do what God wants to maintain a bond of peace within the local church, the body of Christ. Well, I've shown you this morning that if you need a Savior, Jesus is the only one. As the pianist comes, Danny comes,